At 31, Mark Morris has become one of the most commissioned choreographers in the United States. Arlene Croce in the New Yorker magazine described him as an innovator and a traditionalist, a satirist and a romantic, and one can never tell in advance what side of him will be presented in any given work or at any given moment in a work. Morris has won a Guggenheim and a Bessie Award for his choreography, and he's choreographed more than 50 dances for his own modern company and for others such as the Boston Ballet, the Joffrey Ballet, and the American Ballet Theater. Morris choreographs to a lot of different kinds of music, ranging from Vivaldi and Handel to new music and country rock. I asked him if there was a style that united his different dances.
The style of what I do comes from one of the very first pieces I made up when I was about 15, and I think that's probably the only dance I ever made up, and I just keep revising it and rethinking it. I think that I approach every piece from a different point of view, but I certainly I have favorite modes of expression, I have favorite moves, so I suppose that defines a style, although it's hard for me to analyze it personally.
So what was this dance like that you did when you were 15?
Oh, it was fabulous.
Oh, I'll bet.
it was called Barstow, and it's to a piece of Harry Parch's.
Uh-huh.
It was very small bits of dancing that were sort of character pieces, demi-character, I guess, if we were speaking ballet, we would say that. And it was the first time that I'd really sort of tested my voice and made up something that I later found out was modern dance.
One of the solo pieces I've seen you do is called Jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me to be a piece that works on two levels, that on the one hand, there's a lot of serious emotion expressed in it, and on the other hand, there's humor in it as well.
You know, it's like at a funeral or something where suddenly someone has to laugh because it's too much to take. And that's, you know, that's always there. I didn't make the dance up as a joke. I made it up as jealousy. And I found the inspiration, if I have to use a word like that, for the piece from Handel's incredible music and from my personal experiences of jealousy. So people see different things, and it doesn't matter really what I mean. If someone gets another story from one of my dances, it doesn't matter to me. As far as I'm concerned, it was completely a humorless piece.
Okay. do you choreograph differently for yourself than for others?
Well, lately, most of my solos or parts that I have in duets or trios have been choreographed on someone else, and then I learn it from that person. So
you choreograph it, and then you learn it from them?
Mm-hmm. Very often.
Explain why it has to be that way. How come you choreograph it and you don't already know it yourself?
Well, because I make it up. You know, I make it up as I go along. And I want to see the piece formally. And mm-hmm. I want to see that it makes sense as a complete dance. I mean, I know what it is and I know all the steps because I've made them up. But it's impossible, for example, to see myself in a large group dance because someone has to be watching. And the person watching should be the choreographer. And that's me. So it gets complicated. Just because it feels good to do doesn't mean it looks good to watch.
Let's talk about how you started to dance. What was the first experience that you had watching dance that really excited you about it?
The first concert experience of watching dance was the Jose Greco Dance Company when I was about 8, I think, in Seattle. And Jose Greco and Nana Lorca, who was actually a superior dancer, came to Seattle frequently, and my mother was nutty about Spanish dance, and so we went to see it, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do right away.
So you started studying flamenco dance after that?
Yeah, that was my first thing. I did a year or so of just doing Spanish dance, and then I added things like ballet and some sort of modern dance at that time.
You know, it's funny, I think of flamenco dancing as having a lot of sexual bravado to it, and here you were a kid of around, what, 9 or something, learning
yes.
it. Did it make any sense to you?
Of course. Do not children have sexual bravado?
Well, actually, yes, actually.
It just isn't called that yet, I guess.
It's also a dance of another culture.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it was, I guess, exotic enough to appeal to me. And, you know, I continue to be very, very interested in ethnic dance forms, although I'm less involved personally as a participant. I love to watch those things. I love Indian dance. I love Asian dance, actually, of all kinds. And, you know, I've had a lot of experience with various Balkan points of view in dancing.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the dances that you mentioned are popular dances, or folk dances of one form or another. Do you think that it shaped your sensibility in a way to start dance doing you know, folk dances as opposed to high art type dances, you know, where you have to study for a lifetime before you can, you know, master it?
Well, to do any dance, to be a master at any form of dance requires a lifetime of study that never stops. So just because they're, you know, lowly ethnic forms doesn't mean that they're not sophisticated or important. And I think that that's a big mistake, that people view, you know, giant megalithic ballet companies with giant budgets as the important thing in the dance world, and I think that that's exactly wrong. You know, I was drawn to folk dance, as it's called, because of a particular communal spirit, a community spirit, that everybody, you know, babies and antiques all do these same dances that are part of an important cultural activity, an important, like, part of life.
You moved to New York and joined several companies. Once you started your own company, after you started to get established in New York, you moved back to Seattle, where you were from. Why did you leave New York?
Because it's gross. It's just that I was tired of living in New York and just eating rice and beans and living in, you know, a dump. So I moved back to Seattle, where I continued to eat rice and beans and lived in a little bit better dump, and worked at the university for a while. But then, you know, I was getting so much more work for the company and for me, through commissions and things, that I really was spending much less time in Seattle. I was splitting the time between New York and Seattle, and then it turned into one-third New York, one-third Seattle, and the rest of the time on tour, you know, traveling all over. So, you know, I sort of am nomadic.
Well, now you're about to go to Brussels.
That's right.
Do you think that it's that life for a dance company is going to be very different there than you're used to in the States?
Absolutely, radically, totally. You know, it's a tired old thing that I always say, that in the States, art is mostly luxurious, and in Europe it's mostly necessary. And I think that it's a whole point of view that is incomprehensible to the majority of Americans, who, you know, think that the theater is just highbrow and just for, you know, highfalutin types. And I think that that's a real, real big problem.
Will you be doing operas when you go to Europe?
Yeah, probably. I'm negotiating. I haven't decided yet exactly what's going to happen. I'm interested in doing Baroque opera.
Yeah, you've been doing some opera in the States. You recently did Nixon in China. You choreographed that.
Yeah, I choreographed that. And then most recently I directed Die Fledermaus for Seattle Opera, which was a hoot.
A hoot? Really?
Yeah, it was very fun. It's a funny piece, and it turned out very well.
Why did you want to get into opera?
Because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the best music ever composed is operatic music. You know, not necessarily our Puccinis and our Verdis, every note was fabulous, but I like to go back a little farther to, you know, Handel and Mozart. And it's music, you know, it's very important work, and I think too often it's done with bad singing and bad direction. So, you know, I've worked with Peter Sellers, and I intend to do more of that in the future, because he's like the smartest, most musical director I've ever encountered.
So what are you doing right now to get ready for Brussels?
Well, I go there a lot. I'm going there next week for some meetings and stuff. I'm trying to better my French, and I have great fear of having to learn Flemish, but I think that'll be all right. We're having a lot of time off this summer, so the dancers can come to terms with leaving the country. So it's pretty easy.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best, and thanks very much for talking with us.
You bet.
Choreographer and dancer Mark Morris. He leaves on September 1st for Belgium, where he and his troupe become the national company in residence. This is Fresh Air.